independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
100 days of broken promises to working people. 100 days of handouts to the wealthiest people in our country.
Nancy Pelosi there. She is not going to be at the NFL draft tonight because nobody wants to draft her in our mock draft of who is the people you'd take first. Not Nancy, right? The Cleveland Browns should take her. Therefore, she's doomed. How you doing, everybody? Happy Thursday. Great show we have on tap for you today. I want to jump straight in. It has been 98 days. We're almost heading into that 100th day. Getting closer and closer to having what could potentially be Trump's 100th day greeted by a stoppage of work as the government shuts down. And we know it's pretend, right? So let's not pretend that it's really a government shutdown. It's not a government shutdown. It's not going to happen. The essential people still have to show up at work. They're fighting right now, trying to get this thing done. He is tweeting at them saying, hey, it's coming. A shutdown's coming. And this time it's on the Democrats. Democrats are saying the same thing. It's on the Republicans. The media report, it's the Republicans' fault, as always, by and large, across the board. And the other, you know, most people say, look, it's this time, the last time it landed at the Republicans' feet, this time this may be on the Democrats. It's been 100 days. I look at his first 100 days as we get closer again. We're at the 98th day. Tomorrow's day 99, and tomorrow night at midnight, heading into Saturday, that could potentially be the shutdown. That will be his 100th day. Welcome to 100 days. Welcome to 100 days. People are taking it on, these 100 days. We'll break it down from top to bottom tomorrow. But it's been a ride, that's for sure. It's been a ride. It's been up. It's been down. It's been sideways. It's been a little bit crazy. I myself have sat there and I have scratched my head at times when it comes to some of the stuff. But at the same time, I also look up and I say, you know what? I think he, for all intents and purposes, even for the wild ride, right? Even for Mr. Toad's wild ride that Trump has put a lot of people on, I think he's doing a lot of stuff that looks good. And I think whether or not it's going to pan out correctly doesn't really concern him at this point in time. And I mean that. I know it sounds weird, but he's the president. Yes, but you know, at some point in time, he's got to get these Republicans and some of these Democrats to get on board with some of his stuff. He's not, there's no, you know, he can assign an executive order. Those things are going to be fought left, right, and center. But he's going to have to get some of these Republicans and Democrats to do their jobs to get some of this stuff through. So hopefully us, the American people, can reap its reward. First and foremost, the tax plan he talked about yesterday, they just went after it as fast as possible.
The president's outline yesterday is a direct assault on the middle class and an expensive gift to the wealthiest Americans and the special interests.
That's Chuck Schumer there whining. He does that, you know. Just want to let you guys know that. He whines a lot. Have you ever heard a soundbite in the last, say, 5 months, 6 months, or maybe ever, of Chuck Schumer coming out with some great ideas? This is all criticism. All these things I'm going to play for you is criticism. Nancy Pelosi, criticism. There's nothing here. Now, I think he tweeted about, I think he did the right thing for Syria, you know, when he did what he did. But it's all criticism. And this is the stuff that matters to us. Syria, North Korea. Let me tell you about North Korea. There's breaking news out, as you know, because CNN likes to break news all the time. Doesn't matter what it is. They've broken the news, and now they're trying to fix it, and they've really made it a mess. But if you are worried about North Korea attacking us, weapons experts around the world are saying that most of the weapons you see are fake and or so antiquated that it doesn't even matter, right? I've seen, like, they show... I watched another one of those North Korean documentaries, and they were showing the might of their military. It's like it looks like Red Dawn from the 80s. That's what they're fighting with. They're fighting with, do you remember Red Dawn with the 80s? Patrick Swayze, Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, you know, that's what it looks like. They've got 1970s and 80s equipment. Some of it's a bit older, and they were saying some of the big missiles that you see, those things may be made of paper mache. That's not even real. They're pinatas. They have pinatas and they're threatening us. Right? So don't care about that. Tax reform, care about that. Repeal and replace, care about that. Regulations and reforms there, care about that. Jobs back in this country, tax reform, let's get moving. I care about that. So should you, because that deals with you. The chances of you being attacked by North Korea are slim to none. Okay? So let's all take a deep breath. But yes, of course, look, any tax break that's coming is going to get, if we're going to look at somebody and we're going to say, we're going to give America a tax break. Well, the rich are going to benefit from that. Well, everybody is. Yeah, but I only want to focus on the rich. It's always about somebody else's money with the Democrats. I need to focus on your money. They're pissed at the world because of the whole estate tax. Wait. You mean to tell me that you guys want to get rid of the estate tax? But that's the largest transfer of wealth, as Bernie tells us all the time. This is going to be the largest transfer of wealth in the history of wealth kind. Oh, my God. Who cares? Why do you give a rat's? That's not your money. It's already been taxed. If I want to leave Jack a massive fortune, which I hope I do, why should you get 40% of it? For what? Just curious. You know what? The mafia does this, and that's a crime, right? You know, it's like you're asking for protection money. That's what it feels like. Hey, you know that, you guys might have to give me a little bit more over there. You know, boss says you've been a little light on the old payment there. So if you could just hurry it up and give me some more, that'd be super. That would be super. Some of this stuff is crazy. Yes, of course. You know what? And I'm going to point something out to you guys. All right, I live in a state that is completely one-sided insanity. All right? This is a state that is one-sided. It's called California. The People's Republic of California. Right? It's not San Francisco and Sacramento. It's not Los Angeles. The Pyongyang is really what it is. They have the most insane tax ideas. They're trying to push through a single-payer system, which cleared its first hurdle yesterday. And they have no idea how to pay for it. As they start breaking all these things down, and I'm telling you guys this, the funny thing is, California is a one-sided, liberal-run, progressive-run state that is becoming a state of truly very few haves, destroying the middle class and or watching the middle class run for the hills. In the hills, I mean Nevada, Arizona, Oregon, Texas, and a lot of have-nots. And it's all because of their policies. The likes Schumer would like to put across the board. Bernie screams and yells about all of this stuff, right? Like all of this stuff about the wealth and we need more money and the Republicans have no idea what they're doing and look how the wealth gap is. Yet that wealth gap got much larger on Obama's watch, didn't it? And now you guys want to scream and yell? Everybody's going to be getting back a little something. Everybody's going to see a little simpler side when it comes to taxes.
What President Trump unveiled yesterday is not the Trump tax plan. It is a plan to lower President Trump's taxes, the taxes of his cabinet, and people as wealthy as they are.
Well, that's it. Because you're right. You know, Chuck, we were looking for somebody who was incompetent and who was broke and had zero success, but we found that that didn't really work the way we thought, so we went with somebody who was successful. Being successful is not a crime. Dare I say today, you know what tomorrow's going to be, guys? Tomorrow's going to be Thank a Rich Person Day. That's what tomorrow's going to be. Thank a Rich Person Day. Poor person ever give you a job? You know who a poor person's given a job to? Democrats. That's who. But the average American, and by rich person, I mean somewhat successful, they think anybody who makes over 200 grand is rich. Most small business owners would bust their ass. You know what that's about, right? That's amazing. Most of his cabinet, again, it is crazy. But when I listen to this stuff, it's all about criticism. It's all about this entire 100 days is he's never achieved anything. He's a liar. He hasn't done anything. Yet every time he tries, guess what? I look, and I got a great article, and we're going to talk about it tomorrow when we talk about the 100 days and we really break it down. I look, and I've looked back at, and the Republicans were a thorn in the side of the Obama administration. Let's not pretend. But they're no more a thorn in the side that the Democrats have been. You know what the difference is, though? The Jets had the media, by and large, on the side of the Obama administration. He doesn't have that. As I said yesterday, you go look at any of the big media sites, right? Any of the big, what they call Main Street media sites. If there's 10 stories about Trump, I will tell you this right now. 8 of them are negative. 1 is positive, but it's a very small positive story. And the one op-ed piece in there that is positive is written by the only conservative that works for that organization. He has, he's not getting any breaks when it comes to that. And the Democrats are going to hammer him. But the people that voted for him, they're right there. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You, my friends, can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Bottom of the hour. A man's going to join us who, when we look in the annals of history in a decade, two decades, three decades, we will look at him and say, wow, that's one of those American heroes. That guy right there. Rob O'Neill's going to join us. He is the man that took down bin Laden, the man that fired the fateful shot on that fateful night. But on top of that, this guy had over 400-plus missions with the SEALs, didn't lose anybody, nobody got hurt. It is amazing, his story. He's got a new book out called The Operator. We're going to talk to him at the bottom of the hour about that fateful night and what it's like to be him now, right? What it's like to be him, and what was it like to know that you killed the most wanted man on earth and you couldn't tell anybody? The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Serving up talk radio medium rare and dripping with irony. It's Chad Benson.
Irony dripper! That is what I are, kids. That is what I are. How you doing, everybody? It's the Chad Benson Show. Rob O'Neill joins us here in a little bit. We like to have fun on the show. It's not just all about politics and pop culture in that way. We actually have fun. And we give you things that you can take to your kids and to the streets and use in a way that people will double take and think, how did you know that? How are you that hip with that vernacular? How do you spit that kind of knowledge? It's simple, kids. It's called your urban word of the day.
It's time for the urban word of the day, fam.
What? Right now?
Time to get a little more hip on the streets.
I can't understand a word you're saying.
Urban word of the day.
This one is cool. You can use it with your kids. Maybe they fall asleep in the car, right? You got an older one and a younger one. Younger one in the back falls asleep, you know, sitting in the seat. You look at your kid and go, check out little Jimmy back there. He's chicken sleeping.
What?
Yeah, chicken sleeping. It's the hip new words the kids are using. It's when you fall asleep in an upright position with your head dangling, most commonly in a car or airplane. The motion makes your head bob up and down like a chicken pecking. In rare cases, you could be fighting while falling asleep in class or moving vehicles. Not necessarily about sleeping, but you do look like a chicken because your head's going up and down and up and down. They're saying, oh, my God, check it out. Little chicken sleeper back there. That's your urban word of the day.
Thank you for saying that in dated urban slang so that I'll understand you.
That there was the urban word of the day. We damn stretched your cranium.
It appears that conservative commentator Ann Coulter has canceled her speech planned for this week at the University of California's Berkeley campus, despite insisting that she would go to Berkeley regardless, even after the university said it could not accommodate her on the date and time it had initially scheduled her because of threats of violence. Ms. Coulter said she did not see how she could go forward. Reuters reports that she explained that the two conservative groups sponsoring her speech were no longer supporting her. She went on to say, I looked over my shoulder and my allies had joined the other team.
Now, I don't think that to be true. I don't think they joined the other team. I think these groups are sick and tired. It's not just about you, Ann, right? They've had other people that have tried to come on campus through them and have been denied and or had trouble. And so they looked at it and said, it's best that she doesn't come so we can now take this to the courts and maybe lose this battle but win the war. And by the way, it was supposed to be today. She said she was going to be in town. Apparently, she was going to fly there anyways. Maybe she said stroll around, see what's going on. Well, what's going on is protest everywhere. Protest everywhere throughout parts of the campus, at the Spectrum there, at Sproul Plaza, Martin Luther King Jr. and Civic Center Park Thursday, which is today. There are protests everywhere. Yesterday, the ACLU came out and said that this was not a good thing. Said this was a strike against the First Amendment. Yeah, you know, you may hate her speech, kids. You may hate her speech. I don't agree with everything Ann says, but I'll protect her right. I will protect her right. Saul Alinsky, I don't agree with a lot of what he says, if anything at all. But I'll protect his right to say it. Because that's the country we live in. No matter how many times we say this to these young people and these people out there who are ready to throw a fit, it's about the speech you don't like in the world. That's what we need protected. That's what the amendment's about. So still some issues there. Definitely a lot of people. And you know what? You created Madhouse, right? Your whole thing is you didn't want her there because you didn't like the speech she had. Now what you've got are even people who would side with you 99 times out of 100 when it comes to your political beliefs, yet they have now come over to the side of the people on the quote-unquote right because they're looking at this and thinking, this is ridiculous. Because they know people are going to start coming for them. People are going to start coming for their speech, and that's the last thing they want. Speaking of freedoms, we enjoy the freedoms here in this beautiful country. One of the reasons is we have the greatest military in the world. Joining us next is a man who fought for us and who fired the fateful shot that killed Osama bin Laden. Rob O'Neill's going to join us, talk about his new book, The Operator, a bunch of missions he's been on, and what people are going to get out of this book. I'm excited to have him on because my son's dream of being a Navy SEAL every weekend he does. So it's going to be good. Rob O'Neill, the man who killed Osama bin Laden, joins us next. The Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Tell you what, when you talk about American heroes, we look back at time and we think about all these legends from the West and whatnot, and the likes of Patton. But there are other heroes out there that are more recent. And this guy's got a brand new book out, and I think I'd put him right in that category. Rob O'Neill joins us now. The book's called The Operator, and of course, you are the man. By the way, when I've read excerpts of the book, a good portion of it, and let me tell you something. You know, you've got this guy's a legend among legends, and when we'll get into it here, he's getting ready to join us just to jump back on us, but it's crazy. Hey, Rob, thanks. Sorry about that. Hey, listen, you know, before we talk about you got to that night, you got your book out, The Operator, do we have a broken heart to thank the world for you getting bin Laden? Because the reason I think that you may have joined the Navy is because you got basically dumped.
I got dumped. I joined the Navy kind of by accident because growing up in Butte, Montana, I got dumped. The easiest way to get out is to join the military. So I tried to join the Marine Corps, and just as luck would have it, the Marine wasn't in the office and the Navy guy was. So I went in to ask the Navy guy where the Marine was. And the only reason I went in there was because I had two of my Marine Corps friends tell me that the, you know, tongue in cheek, that the Navy is actually part of the Department of the Navy. It's just the men's department. So that was it. I went in there for that reason.
You know, you talk about you grew up in Butte, Montana, and you'd probably did you ever see the ocean? I mean, have you ever seen the ocean until you saw the ocean?
I'd sort of seen it once in a while, never been in it, and I didn't grow up swimming. I didn't really know how to swim. So the Navy chief that recruited me was pretty slick about it. He told me, you know, if you want to be a sniper, you can do it in the Navy. All you got to do is be a SEAL first, no big deal, and kind of brushed over it. So I signed up, and believe me, I started drinking from the fire hose. I learned the hard way that, you know. But what I did, though, is, you know, coming from Butte, Montana, and ending up a Navy SEAL in Bin Laden's bedroom. And the whole premise of the book is it doesn't matter where you're from or what you look like. You can do anything as long as you never quit and stay, you know, avoid the negativity, stay positive.
You know, you talk about, you know, what you look like, because you said, you know, you actually took a guy hunting that was a special forces guy, and, you know, he brought the whole pack with him and stuff. And you were kind of surprised because this wasn't a guy that was like 6'8" and built like Dolph Lundgren. It was just a normal looking guy.
He was a normal looking guy with a positive attitude. And it was actually, you know, I took him hiking up the mountain. I knew the mountain really well. I took him up in the dark. And normally when I was elk hunting, I would take a few breaks on this hike. But I'm like, this guy's a special operator. I need to just haul the mail the entire time. So I did one of the hardest hikes of my life. And he didn't quit behind me, but he did tell me later in the day, he's like, I don't know what you were thinking. You need to stop. But that's a pretty good sense of direction in the dark. So it was encouraging, but it was just cool to see. And a lot of these guys, a lot of these operators, because that's what this book is about, the life of the operator, they're normal guys, most of them, just with really positive, never-quit, can-do attitudes and great senses of humor. They're really great people. That, I mean, we're talking people that mow their lawn one day, can barely afford their mortgage, and then they're being called to jump into the Indian Ocean that day to rescue someone from Somali pirates. I've seen it all happen, and it's in my book.
His name is Rob O'Neill. The book's called The Operator. Speaking of you know, you've got this book and you've written this, and if somebody's to read the book, not really know the story of you and what has happened, you know, heard of you, but not really know the story, what do you want them to take away from it?
I just want them to take away the attitude that you can do whatever you want. I mean, like I said, none of it was supposed to happen. I was never going to join the military. I certainly wasn't going to make it a career. But just because what you take away from it is life happens around you as you're making a plan. The perfect plan rarely – it only exists in the planning room. Once you go to do something, it changes. I mean, even the Bin Laden raid, we planned the perfect plan. None of it happened. The helicopter crashed in the front yard. All kinds of stuff went bad, but just because we kept a good attitude and didn't panic and, you know, didn't, you know, stayed with our tactics, we were able to do it successfully. And that's common in life, the never quitting. Even with, like, I met some of my instructors in SEAL training in the book. Some of the best advice I got was very simple. When you feel like quitting, which you will, don't quit now, quit tomorrow. And it's that simple. Just keep doing it.
You know, it's amazing because I think people think, obviously, the Bin Laden raid, the whole nine yards, but the stuff that you've been a part of, including the Captain Phillips and Marcus Luttrell, the lone survivor, you've been a part of, for a lot of people, a bunch of great movies. But on top of that, it was real life, and you're actually a part of that. When you watch it, like, you know, even when you watch the Bin Laden movie, do you think, okay, who's going to play me and which guy am I?
Yeah, you know, those thoughts do cross my mind. And then when I watch any action movie, just because I was a Navy SEAL for so long, I can pick it apart and let it, you know, ruin the movie. But I enjoy those movies. They're a little bit accurate, but not close. You wonder who plays whom, and there's always there's funny little subtleties in there. But yeah, I mean, because of a positive attitude and a great team, I was a part of the rescue for the lone survivor, and I was a part of the rescue for Captain Phillips, and I was part of the team. We were on the base when even Bo Bergdahl walked off, and we attempted to rescue him about 19 or 20 times, to the point where we were so close that I had the ransom money the Taliban paid in my hands. And obviously, the Bin Laden raid, I was part of that great team. It's an honor to work with those guys. Very proud of all of those guys. And, you know, we were in Iraq in 2006, 2007, fighting during the awakening, and we fought everywhere from Al-Assad, Ramadi, Fallujah, Baghdad, and just – like I was mentioning, like the Bin Laden raid was I've done over 400 combat missions. Most of the guys on the team had at that point. So we're talking like chapter 22 or 23 of the book. We'll talk about Bin Laden. But and what's nice about it, because this is the first book about the Bin Laden raid that was approved by the Pentagon. I went through the process and submitted everything, and they read it. A lot of departments read it and they approved it. So this is it feels good to do it the right way and have the story be legitimate.
Talking to Rob O'Neill, his new book's called The Operator. Take us to that night. I mean, when did you know that, okay, we're going for some hype, you know, this is somebody that we're going after, that the world wants dead. When did you get the idea that, like, we're going for Bin Laden?
Well, they didn't tell us at first. They told us about 2 days later for sure, but we figured it out just sitting around and listening to our leaders talk. And, you know, it was even before we started training. for that mission. It was very, very cool that the commanding officer of our SEAL team came in the room and he just said, the reason you're here, this is as close as we've ever been to Osama bin Laden. And we kind of looked around the room, and everyone was a professional. And I remember one guy saying, all right, cool, we going right now? We're ready. We obviously didn't go then, but we trained for a couple of weeks. We went overseas. We were given the green light, and then we launched on. So we knew going in who we were going after. We knew it was a very high probability of dying or at least not coming back. We all considered it a one-way mission, but it was worth it to defend this country, to sort of avenge the victims and families of 9/11 and close the chapter, hopefully.
And you go into that night, like you said, you guys, right off the bat, boom, what are the helicopters? Okay, so you, not even skipping a beat, this is what life is, you know, you guys move on forward, and then it all starts to happen. And did you know, like, you know, how fast did it happen? When you turn that corner, you go up there, and, you know, there's over the shoulder of his wife or whatever, there he is. Did you know, okay, this is the dude, or?
Yeah, when I saw him, I instantly knew, but before that, even going through the house and going up the stairs, I was in a very fortunate spot because I was supposed to land on the roof with the rest of my team, but we didn't. We landed on the north side outside, so we had to come in. So I was able to watch everybody work, and it was just so cool to watch these guys know they probably weren't going to live through this, but they just maintained their composure. They did their jobs, even going up the stairs where we knew we'd run into Khalid bin Laden, his son, watching my team take care of that, and even being to a point, wow, what I saw there, I was like, you know, it's in the book. And I said, I hope I live through tonight, because people need to know what these guys did. And then we kept going up the stairs, and that's where I came into the position of the number two man. The number one man in front of me was kind of letting me know it's time to go. We got to go up these stairs. At the end of the stairs was a curtain, and we knew there'd be suicide bombers. So we went up the stairs. And for me, I don't know what he was thinking, but I wasn't thinking bravery or bravado. I was thinking I'm just tired of thinking about it. Let's just get it over with. And we went up. I watched him jump on what he thought were suicide bombers. So he gave his life to the operator behind him. He didn't know it was me, but it was. Once he did that, I turned the corner into a bedroom, and then 3 feet in front of me was Osama bin Laden. He had his hands on his wife's shoulder, who was shorter and in front of him. And I did a quick positive identity, like, that's him. He's taller than I thought, though, skinnier. Gray beard is shorter than I thought. That's his nose. He's a threat. He's not surrendering. I considered him a suicide bomber, so I dealt with him by taking shots to his head. I shot him 3 times, and then it was over even before I could say anything.
You canoed him. We know you canoed him. Come on, Rob. You canoed his head.
That thing's not even a thing. He looks like someone that got shot in the head, because he did get shot in the head, but that whole canoe thing was made up by someone that had an imagination. We're the good guys. You know, we don't want to use more ammo than we need, because we might need it for days at a time.
Let me ask you this. Okay, so you know you've done it that night. You guys are on your way back. The mission's successful. When does it sink in, you know, that I just killed the most wanted man maybe in the history of the world, and I can't tell anybody?
that's quite a secret to keep, believe me. It actually started to sink in about five or six seconds after I shot him. Because I had to move his wife to the bed. I saw his two-year-old son, two or three, standing there. And as a father, I remember thinking, you know, this poor kid's got nothing to do with this. And I picked him up and put him next to his mom. And then as that happened, I sort of froze. And the other SEALs were coming in the room. And a guy came up to me and he said, hey, are you okay? And I just responded with, yeah, what do we do now? And he kind of laughed and said, now we go find the computers, man. We've done this hundreds of times. And I said, you're right. I'm back. Holy crap. He said, yeah, man, you just killed Osama bin Laden. Like, your life just changed.
Yeah. And it's like, and you can't tell anybody. Like, you said in the thing, you hope you get some great stories to tell all your friends, but you can't tell anybody. You just killed the world's most wanted man.
Yeah.
When did your wife and family find out it was you? And what was it like when they found out?
A lot of people found out before we even got back to our home base in Virginia, because we did that. We had to do a lot of debriefing and some DNA stuff, and then we took a long flight home from Afghanistan to Virginia. And during that long flight, word had started to spread wildly, so a lot of people there already knew before I got there. And so in the community of Virginia, it started to spread, and it turned into one of those, you know, hey, don't tell anybody, but – and, you know, the first question is, well, who shot him? And so the word spread. It was a really, really poorly kept secret for a while.
Well, Tell you what, man, the book I've read, like I said, I've read several long excerpts of it. It's great. I appreciate you coming on today. I know you're busy. I appreciate you. Good luck on the book, and we hope to talk to you soon. And once again, I think the families of 9/11 and this country thank you, because just not only for this, but for the 400-plus missions that you did in service of our country. And I don't think anybody can ever thank you enough. And I know my son just lives for the SEALs, and we really appreciate you allowing us to sleep well at night.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you for saying that. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Thanks so much. Appreciate that. Rob O'Neill right there. Great interview and an amazing story of and this book is, again, I've read a good portion of it. And I will tell you this right now. Yes, it's about positivity. It's about all of these things. But to know that this guy went on 400-plus missions, not only did he not lose a guy, they didn't have anybody injured. It's the insanity of it all, the greatness of what we're able to do. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Giving the First Amendment a run for its money. This is the Chad Benson Show.
I killed Osama bin Laden, the most wanted man on earth. There's just no chance in hell I keep my mouth shut. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. Period. And there's a difference. Somebody comes and tells me a secret, and it's supposed to be a secret, but I have nothing to do with it. I just know about it. That is a different thing. Do you know what I mean, Phil? Like, you doing something that is so amazing, but you can't tell anybody, is not the same thing as knowing something and not telling somebody that you're really not a part of.
Oh, yeah, man. That's got to have been just incredible.
Yeah. See, and people are like, well, what's that supposed to mean? So let's just say, right, like, your friend comes to you and he's got a great secret or he's got something. He's got to get it off his chest, whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent. They tell you something. You're not really a part of it. It's not your thing. That's his secret. I know about it, but it's his secret. But knowing I did something amazing? Oh. Like that? Like, that's otherworldly, right? And if you think about it, it's the weirdness of the world and how the world has become, how globalized we are in every way, shape, or form. That a guy like Osama bin Laden, an evil man who had designs on mostly being a pain in everybody's ass, he didn't want to run the world. ISIS wants to have a big caliphate and run the world. He didn't want that. That he saw that as a headache, as we found out. But to somewhat design and definitely fund and be a spokeshole for Al-Qaeda, as he was, born in, you know, Saudi Arabia. And then on the other side of things, you have a guy that's born in Butte, Montana. And that, you know, X amount of years later, they'll meet in Abbottabad, Pakistan on a late Sunday night, early Sunday, Monday morning, their time. That's insane. Thank God it did go down that way. Of all of the things, like you said, man, it was a one-way ticket. But I think every time you're in a position like that, isn't that a one-way ticket? Right? Well, you think it's a one-way ticket? Absolutely. All those missions, though, nothing. All of those things that potentially could have gone wrong, all of those things that could have gone sideways, all of those things that it could have gone wrong, and you know, you're not only you. You're worried about the guy next to you and on both sides of you and the person behind you and in front of you, but you've got to worry about all the other things that could potentially go wrong. And boom, all of those missions. Wow, that is crazy. NFL draft is tonight. Speaking of not being able to keep secrets, we already know who is going to be number one, according to just about everybody, that Myles Garrett, who is a he's kind of one of those guys that it's, if you could, and you should never say this in anything, he's a no-brainer. And apparently the Browns, who have a history of making the worst choice, has decided that they're going to take a run at this guy. So in a few hours, about an hour and 3 minutes or so, Myles Garrett's going to become a millionaire. like that, and he will then be a Cleveland Brown. And he's been efforting and wanting this. I was in Cleveland over the summer for the convention. I don't know if he's been there, but I was not efforting and wanting that. We were talking about that earlier today. Like, Cleveland? Ugh. And that's not fair to say to Cleveland, but, man, where we were, and I think, Anthony, you will attest to this, left little to be desired, right? Like, would not want to go back. Is that why I think that's what we're picking up and we're putting down? Would not a place I'd like to venture to again where we were, including the night, the first night of the police basically accosting us as we headed into our Airbnb, and then the man getting killed just down the street. Yes, nice place to visit if we never have to go back. Now, in saying that, downtown Cleveland seemed to be nice, and some of the other places, Cuyahoga Falls and stuff, were okay. But where we were, I'm going to pass on that. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. The book's called The Operator. If you have a chance, go out and pick it up, wherever fine books are available, and Amazon as well. This here be the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.